Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 79, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. My God, it was thy grace, and that did my strength supply. When thou didst hide thy face, sore troubled then was I. To thee I cried, O Lord, to thee. I made my supplicating plea. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 79.
Oh, scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the first epistle of Paul the Apostle to Timothy. There, the first chapter, but first we read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. Now the end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith, and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made shipwreck. of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Lord of heaven and of earth, it is for the second time in this day that we are permitted to gather round thy word of truth and to draw nigh unto thee. And thou knowest all that lives within our hearts, Lord, teach us to pray. For we know not what to pray for as we ought. But there is one that is sitting in the heavens as an intercessor for his church. And we can read also of that Spirit who maketh intercession with groanings that cannot be uttered. And an intercession is so necessary for each and every one of us. Because we have just heard who that law that is for the lawless and for the disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners. And thou knowest the heart and the life of every one of us. And then we are condemned by that law, and there is no man that can come out thereunder. Except that price is paid, or we have to come so on the outside of it. Lord, open our eyes for it, and that we may despair of everything that is of ourselves, and that we may end up with no hope in ourselves, and that we may need thee for everything. And because thou hast made a covenant with thy only begotten Son, ordered in all things and sure. And so for thy people, then it is, there is no question concerning that covenant and concerning their acceptance before thee, despite who and what they remain here below to the last breath. Lord, then it is only by a sight, by renewal, that thy children can receive a little hope and expectation, when they have to experience what thy servant did experience in that warfare here below, that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Then thou knowest that they stand in need, that their heart may be opened by renewal, that thy word may be received. And thus we need it not only for the first time, but we need it time and time again, that thou may look upon each and every one of us who cannot miss this blessing traveling to our long home. Instruct us in all thy truth, and while it is still a day of grace, both young and old, and wilt thou look upon those that are afflicted and sick, and we lay before thee once again that friend, and that does lie so close to the gates of death, and then from the side of man there is no... there is no ability in that warfare, there is no strength from his side to fight against that which is surely coming against us. Lord, we beseech thee for him when he does experience that weakness, and that he has to go through that valley, that river of death, and that last enemy that needs to be experienced in the life of thy children, that it may be yet a last enemy for him, and that it could be that all other enemies would be destroyed. But Lord, thou knowest what he stands in need of within grant, and what he needs to die and to appear before thee. And wilt thou teach us all to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Do remember those who were united in this past week, in that bond of holy matrimony. Those from our own flock here, but also we understand the daughter of our brother elder elsewhere. Lord, that thou may remember them in that way that thou leadest them in this life, and thou givest them one another. And may thou give it, and may it be for many years together. And could it be in thy favor and with thy blessing, be with husbands and wives. For Satan comes against that blessed union in a strong way. Lord, that thou may also give the end of the commandment as we have read, as we have heard, that is charity, that is love, and that it may be felt in a special way over all circumstances that we bring ourselves in this world, in this life, and that we may feel continually that it is but a short time that we are given to one another. Remember those that are not married. Remember those that have no children and for whom these things may still be a burden, that thou may take over such burdens and other burdens in the life of many which are not known unto us. Lord, that thou may look upon us as a nation and as a people, when thy word is within our nation, and yet we have departed so far from it. Wilt thou cause us to return again? And thou givest us so many blessings, also rain from the skies, where in other parts they are filled with drought. But thou givest us blessing after blessing, but they shall testify against us if we do not end in thee therewith. Oh, we beseech thee then, that thou may look on us and turn us yet again, that we may come before thee to acknowledge thee as our maker and as our creator and as our benefactor. And that those that are rule and reign over us may be taught to bow their knees before thee, Lord, from our sight. And then it seems to be a lost case. Then we can hardly ask it of thee with expectation. Oh, that thou may give us a little faith, that thou may give us a little to see thy strength, that we may believe that thou art able to do it, and that we may desire it of thee and expect it of thee. For thou sayest, he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, but it is so far gone. Lord, we beseech thee then, if it could please thee, to do it for thy own great and thy holy name's sake. And wilt thou be with all thy truly sent servants over the length and breadth of this whole world, and those that bring thy word in places where it has not come, and those that bring thy word amongst the established congregations. Remember the student who speaks also in the midst of the congregations, that thou may be on his right and on his left hand continually, and that he may feel that underneath are thine everlasting arms, and that there may be in his own heart a living faith, and that there may be edification in the midst of the churches and for thy own children. Wilt thou supply then for all those that are persecuted for the sake of thy name, be also with those who bring thy word in such places, who will be the targets of oppression and persecution, that thou may give them steadfastness in all their ways, and that thy word may go forth, that many may be brought from the east and from the west, and may sit down in the kingdom of God, that thou may remember also the beloved for the Father's sake. Open thou the eyes of the Jewish nation, that they may be given to see their errors so described in thy holy word, and that they may be brought to see the blessed light, and to turn again in true repentance. Be with those that are traveling in that place. Also, when we may we hear that the enemy is busy even at this very time, Lord, that thou may watch over and protect them and bring them safely home once again. And all those that go to and fro in these weeks, and that thou would watch over each and every one in the air and by the way, also in the homes. Lord, that thou may look upon us in this afternoon hour. Thou knowest what we stand in need of to bring thy word once again. Then there needs to be thy Holy Spirit for opening in preaching. There needs to be felt also thy Spirit's power to open our hearts that we may attend to the things that are spoken, and that thou thyself may receive all the honor and all the glory. Forgive thou all of our many sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 235 all the stanzas. Lord, my petition heed, and now help me in my need. My Savior be, I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford, I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 235. We announced at the male members' meeting in Calgary in this past week, Mr. Peter Suchland was elected to the office of deacon. Lawful objections must be brought to the attention of the consistory by Wednesday, June the 10th. The last collection today is for the building fund. Congregation, we have read together the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1, the 16th verse. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. A pattern. What is a pattern? A pattern is an object of imitation. That is, when we have a desire to make the same things one after the other. Children, then you also know what a pattern is. Because if you want to make many of one kind of a shape, then you will use a pattern, and you will trace that pattern, and then all of them come out just the same. And now the Apostle Paul, the servant of the Lord, he is also speaking here about a pattern. Concerning what? He speaks about a pattern concerning the work of the Lord, the work of the Spirit of the Lord in his own life. Is that not a dangerous thing? To make a pattern out of the experience of a man in this life? As if and that the Lord he is converting every man in this world just alike? Is everyone converted in the same way? Is everyone led in the same way as the Apostle Paul was led? We must admit that there is truth in this objection. And then we say that we have to be very careful, because it is true that the Apostle Paul, and whom he calls his son Timothy, these were not led in just the same way. And yet, that objection against this pattern that is being used to cover so often so many kinds of strange experiences that man is taking for true religion, that is being used so often to condone hypocrisy itself, just as if actually there were no pattern at all. Just as if that there is nothing whereby a man may compare himself, and that he may know whether that work of God is true or not. Our fathers, and they have always said, when they have heard the experience of a man, then we must ask what has gone before it and what has followed after it. Why? Because of this pattern. Several weeks ago, then we have began the consideration once again of our Heidelberg Catechism, and we have begun the first Lord's Day and the first question concerning the only comfort in life and in death. And that only comfort that is defined by our fathers as a knowledge. As a knowledge that I am not my own, but that I belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. But our fathers, they are immediately going forward, and they are proceeding to show how that a person is attaining this comfort that is so necessary that we be led to that comfort. And that is the subject of our consideration for this afternoon hour, and with the Lord's help. Lord's Day 1, the second question. Lord's Day 1, Question 2. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Answer 3. The first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. And that is, congregation, a pattern. And it is actually that same pattern that the Apostle Paul speaks of, which we have heard together in verses 15 through 17 of 1 Timothy 1. This, he says, is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever. Amen. Thus, we are going to call it in this afternoon what Paul calls it. That is the pattern to them which should hereafter believe. And we want to consider, in the first place, the shape of this pattern. And second, the use of this pattern. Thus, the pattern to them which should hereafter believe. First, the shape of this pattern. And second, the use of this pattern. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Answer 3. First, how great my sins and miseries are. Through faith, congregation, that consists of 3 aspects: knowledge, assent, and trust. But we have said to you many times that faith has an object. Faith believes something. Thus, the three aspects of faith, they also have objects. There is a knowledge of something or a knowledge of someone. There is an assent, there is an agreement to something or someone. And there is a trust in something or a trust in someone. We are so liable to self-deceit and hypocrisy. And hypocrisy that is generally characterized by a confusion concerning these objects of faith. That is, that object is very vague. That a person is very confused concerning exactly what it is that I do believe, concerning exactly what it is that I actually know and assent to and do trust. Philpott, however, he says that the Lord, he works by points. Thus the Lord, he is teaching a person something in particular. And so it is with you also, children. And then all the knowledge that you receive in your life, that is not coming in one day, and it is also not coming in a general way. But when you go to school, and your teacher, and then he will say, we have now to begin. And then you are going to begin with one lesson. And one lesson has to be received after the other lesson. That is one thing at a time. That when you come home in the evening, then your mother and father, they may ask of you, what now is it that your teacher did teach, and what did you learn in this very day? Thus, our instructors, they are speaking in the same way. And they are speaking in that way, that very clear language of the Apostle Paul, who says that he did not receive it of men, neither was he taught it, that is, he was not taught it of men, but he has received it by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What is the first thing that the Lord Jesus said to the Apostle Paul? He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? That was his sin. That the Lord in particular has pointed his finger to that sore spot in the life of the Apostle Paul. Thus the Lord did not leave Paul with some vague idea concerning his own sinfulness. But the Lord has pointed him out directly, so that word of the Lord that has struck home in that moment into his heart. Have we received a knowledge of our sin? Then we ask of you this question. What did the Lord say to you? Do you know what that is? Where do you find that in the Word of God? And just how is it that the Lord has made you, in particular, a sinner before God? Because when we do not know this, then we know sin in our mind. And we know sin in a general way. But the Lord, He is not working in a general way. By this accusation, the Lord, He accused Paul. And it is by that accusation that Paul says of himself, that I did not become a sinner. No, he did not become one of the many sinners in this world. He could not place himself with those sinners in this world. But the Lord, he says, he has made me the chief of the sinners. Thus, not a but the sinner. Can we also say the same with the Apostle Paul? And the Apostle Paul does not say, of whom I was chief. But he says, of whom I am chief. That was at the very time that he was writing to Timothy. Then it is that Paul says it has not changed. because that people experience there is only an increase. No, not in the evil deeds. No, then there must be a walking according to the law of the Lord. But it is in the experience of their heart. And that there is only an increase, that they do less sin and they become a greater sinner. Do we know what that is? That experience in the life of Paul. Our fathers do not merely say that we must know our sins and our miseries. No, they say more. They say that we must know in the first place how great my sins and miseries are. Why do they say that? Because this is what is taught unto the people of the Lord. There is a difference in sin. One sin is greater than another sin. And Paul's sin, indeed, that was very great. Paul felt it. He said, I persecuted the church of God. What was that for Paul? To live the rest of his life, knowing what he had done in his life. Oh, we do not sin cheaply. We may be sure that our sin will find us out. And then it is not a light thing. And it is also an incorrect idea, young people, to think that in our youth we will go our way and we will do what we please and we will depart from that law of the Lord. In order that the Lord may convert me like he has converted a Saul of Tarsus. No, now we hear of a man who is grieving in his heart over that sin that he has before committed. There are many sins which are lesser sins than what the Apostle Paul has done. They are lesser sins in their magnitude. And yet, what is that instruction that the Lord is giving to each and every one of his own children? Then the Lord is able, and the Lord does make his children the same as the Apostle Paul, then it is not necessary that we have committed great crimes in this world to feel ourselves to be, as the Apostle Paul says, to be the very chiefest of the sinners. No, if the Lord will open what is living within our heart, and if the Lord will magnify something by showing us whom that we sin against, that it is a holy, that it is a righteous God, that it is a good-doing God, that against all that goodness of the Lord, a goodness which the Lord says brings a man and ought to bring a man to repentance, and then every sin we find creeping within our own heart. Our fathers, they do not only speak about the greatness of our sins, but they also speak here about the greatness of our miseries. Did the Apostle Paul learn that? We read it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What does Paul speak about? He speaks about a wonder. He speaks about a great wonder. And that is that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Why does he say that is such a great wonder? It can only be for one reason. Because if it was a matter of reformation in our life, if it was a matter just of turning from our sin, from our evil way, then Paul had never rejoiced in the sending of Jesus Christ to save sinners. Because Paul, he received in that salvation not one iota of merit. That is not our desire. Thus, the fact that Paul, he is rejoicing in the sending of a Savior for sinners, that shows that Paul felt more than just sin. But there was a misery in it. And what was that misery? That misery is the misery of poverty. Poverty, we read, that is a something that a man is not able to deliver himself from. Thus, Paul, he has experienced, and we can read that especially in Romans 7. Paul, he has experienced that sin which had become his burden was something that he was not able to deliver himself from. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. It was a warfare which Paul says, I can never win. And there is only one way for the Apostle Paul, and that is that Christ Jesus should come into the world to save me, to deliver me from that sin. First, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and misery. Does Paul know that? What does he say? And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Thus, Paul speaks about exceeding abundance. The exceeding abundance, he says, of the grace of God. And then he places that over against something. He places that over against how great that my sins and my miseries are. He places that exceeding abundance over against the fact that he says that he himself is the chief of sinners. Thus, the magnitude of that grace of God that is exalted and that is experienced in the heart of Paul over against the magnitude of his sin. Thus, there were two things that the Apostle Paul says that needed to be revealed to him, shown to him, uncovered to him. That is, in the first, how great my sins and my miseries are. O congregation, was that ever uncovered to you? And how was that now uncovered to you? But now we hear that second one, that we read, Paul says that Christ Jesus is come into the world to save sinners. That wonder that also needs to be revealed. Paul, he is wondering at it. You say we all know it. We are taught it. We are taught it from our youth. And that is so. And yet, we are so ignorant of it. We are so ignorant of it in an experimental way. If the Lord will show to us indeed how great our sins and our miseries are, then we will understand how ignorant that we are of Jesus Christ. He is, despite what so many want to say today, young people, he is a most hidden person so often in the life of God's children. And all our catechetical instruction from the days of our youth that cannot take the place of the revelation of the Lord, of that Son of God to a lost sinner. But when the Lord is now opening that blessed mystery to the chiefest of the sinners, then they will marvel with the Apostle Paul. And what will that bring forth? What does Paul say? He says, now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And so it is. Without fail, that is part of that pattern that the Apostle Paul is speaking about. And so our Heidelberg Catechism says, the third, how shall I express my gratitude to God for such a deliverance? So we hear that Paul, he is speaking, he is singing here a doxology to the eternal, the immortal, the invisible King, a doxology to the only wise God at the creation of the world. Then there was also singing. There was a singing we read in Job that the sons of God, they shouted for joy at the creation of the world. We can read at the coming of the Lord Jesus in the flesh into this world, there was also singing. And there was a rejoicing, glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. And how is it in the conversion of a man? How is it in the opening of the heart? Then we can read that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And there is also joy in his own heart. Is that right, young people? Then there is joy in his heart. You say no. Then there is sorrow in his heart. Ah, you are right. Then there is sorrow in his heart. But then I tell you that there is also joy in his heart. There is also joy in his heart, and I hope you will believe that, because maybe you think sometimes that there is all kinds of joy in this world and that God's children, they experience nothing but sorrow, but that is not true, because they would never take once again all that joy in this world and substitute it for that sorrow that is living in their heart. Because with that sorrow, there is also joy. With that sorrow, there is a longing after the true and the living God. Oh, that is a joy that cannot be found in this world. But now especially, when the Lord is coming to reveal that Son of God in the life of that people, then who is able to express that joy that is living in the heart of that people, and how that their heart that would like to sing. You cannot get to the bottom of it. You cannot reach the height of it. No, we read it in God's word. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Oh, never. It is, you cannot take a picture, you know the young people. You cannot take a picture and then show it to your mother and father of the beautiful mountains or of the beautiful fields and say, now look. No, what do you have to do? You have to say, Mother, Father, come with me. I want to take you here. Because you can never know that beauty until you see it with your own eyes. And now we tell you this. You can never know that glory, and you can never see that beauty in that blessed Son of God except you see Him with your own eyes, except you experience it in your own heart. And then there is not a tongue in this whole world that is able to bring it as it ought to be. No, eternity is going to be too short, but the mouth of man that is also too small, that he is unable to express what is now lived out and experienced in his soul. Oh, there we have that pattern by which God is receiving all his honor and all his glory in the salvation of his church and ending in that eternal wonderment in the life of his children. Let us sing 111, 1 and 2. I waited for the Lord Most High, and he inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock he set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1 and 2 of Psalter 111.
Thank you.
Paul congregation explains the reason, the cause, why that the Lord had showed mercy to him, why that the Lord had saved such as he was. He says, "Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy." That he says that there is a reason that the Lord has done this unto me. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. We heard, of course, that first reason that is going to be that the Lord is going to be glorified. But Paul, he speaks also about something else. He says that the Lord, he will use this as a pattern. That is our second thought. The use of this pattern. And if it is a pattern, children, you remember what a pattern is? That means that there will be more of the same, more that will look the same. And when you hear them speak, then they all speak the same in a certain way, because it is all following the same pattern. The Lord gave us ears to hear something of that pattern, but also a mouth that may speak of it in a personal way. The Apostle Paul says, "In me first." Does that mean that the Apostle Paul was the first man that was converted in the world, or that was converted since Christ came? No. Then there were many that went before him. But he speaks of himself as being first in the magnitude of sin. He said that it is me first, that I am the greatest of all. He does not glory in that sin, as some do. No, it is just the opposite. He is very ashamed of it. But he glories in the deliverance of the Lord from that sin. In me first, he says. In me first as the chief of sinners. He says the Lord, he has exercised a great long suffering. Thus the Lord, he is waiting to be gracious unto his people. Very often, while they are in their natural state, reveling in sin and rebellion against him. Paul says, "My life, that is proof of the long suffering, the great long-suffering of the Lord, while I held the clothes of Stephen, and while I consented unto his death, and while I made havoc of the church, haling men and women to prison, then there is no one on the earth that the Lord, he has shown so much long-suffering to in his life than I." A great, great degree. A wonder that the Lord, he has not in my sin cut me off and cast me away forever. But he hasn't. And why has he done this even to such a one as I am? Those people, we can read that in God's word. that church, they were so surprised, they did not trust him. They did not trust him because of who that he was. And we can all understand that. So Paul says, why is it that the Lord, he would take such a one as I am, he says, for a pattern. For a pattern to them that should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Thus Paul, he represents his case as the most hopeless case in the whole world. And he says, yet the Lord, he has shown me mercy. And why did he do that? He did that for you. He did that so that there would not be one in that whole world that is coming after me that should despair of the mercy and of the grace of God because of the greatness of his sin. Oh, he has done that so that a person who has been awakened by the Holy Spirit of the Lord and upon whom that burden has been placed, that he may be given an eye even to look what the Lord has done in my case. That a man might have hope, even though that he experiences himself in this world to indeed be the chief of sinners. That there may be encouragement for those who are going bowed down over this world under a feeling sense of their guilt, of their transgression. And who have to experience not only their sin, but also their misery. That they are not able to deliver themselves out of that bondage to sin. Or is there something of our own life in it? Why has the Lord done it? Even to such as I am. Well, that they may behold that pattern. That they may behold that freeness of the grace of God to a sinner that is of the first rank and that remains so, that they may behold the fullness of grace in Christ, that they may behold the power of that blood and what it has done to such a man as I, that they may behold the glory that triune God is receiving when he is justifying the ungodly. Congregation Solomon, he says it is the glory of a man to pass over a transgression. That is the glory of a man. Do we know what that is? To pass over a transgression of our neighbor. And or do we hold them to it? Everything that is not, Solomon says, to our glory. And now if it is the glory of a man to pass over a transgression, how much more is it the glory of the Lord? No, he does not do it as we do it. He cannot do it as we do it because we have to look through our fingers at the sin of our neighbor because of our own sin. But this is not how the Lord is passing over the transgression of a man. No, he is doing it through the fulfillment of justice. He is paying that price in his only begotten Son. But it is to his glory to pass over the transgression of his children. And that is now a matter that needs to be revealed. It is a matter that needs to be opened up to be shown unto those who indeed have learned in their life how great their sins and their miseries are. Because when Joshua the high priest stood before the angel, then he stood there in filthy garments, and Satan He stood at his right hand to resist it. And so Satan, he was pointing at those filthy garments, and he was casting his accusations at that judgment seat. Oh, that is the devil. And that is what he does, because he is first tempting. And so that a man, he will be drawn to fall into sin. And then afterwards, he will point to it. And afterwards, he will say that it is no longer possible for you. Oh, that despair, that is one of the most formidable objects that Satan is placing before a repentant sinner. But what do we read? We read that the Lord, he rebuked Satan. And what did he say concerning that Joshua? He says, take away those filthy garments from him. Behold, he says, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. And I will change thee. I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And why? Because that is going to be, that is his final end. That is going to be to his honor and to his glory forever and forever. That is now that blessed pattern. That was the experience of David. That was the experience of Solomon. That was the experience of Manasseh. That is the experience of every one of that true remnant of the Lord from the beginning of the world even unto the end of the world. That is the experience that Bunyan laid out of with his pilgrim in that city of destruction. When he fled from that wrath to come through that wicked gate, and he was received up into glory. That is now the experience of the Apostle Paul. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Oh, what did Naaman, that leper, say? And when he was delivered of his leprosy, he says, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. The pattern, the congregation. Oh, what do we know of that pattern? Is that a pattern also by which our own soul's experience can be described? Because if it is not, and then we can put a great question mark behind what we have a thing to have experienced in our life. Oh, this is the way. It is so simple. And we understand the Lord is free in the time. The Lord is free in the degree. The Lord is free in so many ways. Circumstances, it is all free. There will never be two alike. And yet, every one of them the same. How many things are necessary now for my neighbor to know? No, they are necessary for thee to know. And David and Solomon and Manasseh and that remnant of the Lord, they now sing together. What Paul says here, now unto that King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the honor and glory forever and forever. There are people that know that song. Do you know that song? There are people that know that song in its beginnings. And those that know that song in its beginnings, they will soon join them who are singing that song in its perfections. Because then, and now they know in part, the apostle says, but then they shall know, even as they are known. Or when that faith that is exchanged for that eternal beholding, that is now the end, the end of that pattern, that is to the comfort of the chiefest of the sinners. It is to the honor and to the glory of that triune God forever and forever. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, wilt thou teach and instruct us in that pattern, that thou may show to us how great our sins and miseries are? Wilt thou teach us how that we may be delivered from our sins and miseries, and how we shall express our gratitude to thee? It can all only be learned in such a small way. But thou wilt increase that knowledge in the life of thy children, of all of those parts more and more, until they finally end with thee and in thee, and will be swallowed up in thee, so that all sin and misery shall be left behind, and then they shall glorify thee eternally in perfection. Lord, wilt thou show us the vanity of life, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, and cause us to ask, to seek, and to knock while it is a day of grace. Be with us in this week to come. Wilt thou watch over each and every one in the home and by the way? Also in traveling, be with us. And we also hope to travel. Wilt thou bring us safely to this our flock once again at thy appointed time? And wilt thou grant us upon our journey here below a little edification in the week to come, each one for our own soul, that it may not be unprofitable for our soul's welfare? We acknowledge thee for the help that thou hast given unto us in this day. Grant us further strength in our weak and mortal body, that we may serve this our flock. Forgive our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 426, 2, 3, and 7. The cords of death held me in deep despair. The pangs of hell, like waves by tempest driven, rolled o'er my soul. By grief and sorrow riven, I turned in my distress to God in prayer. 2, 3, and 7 of Psalter 426. the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.